To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. I've got my windows open today. I'm going to see if I can get away with recording with the windows open because it's just beautiful today in Burlington, Vermont. That's where I am. That's where I record each week. Went for a beautiful walk this morning down by the lake. Yeah, I come to you each week from the green mountains and blue of Lake Champlain. And this week we head to the Red Planet, or actually up and away from the Red Planet, as we get into Chapter 7 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio. BC was just leaving Mars as we last left him at the end of Chapter 6. And Al-Salid has agreed to work with BC, but Al-Salid seems defeated, kind of a shadow of his former self. But at least there's finally a sort of peace between the UIN, the Universal Islamic Nation, and the UTZ, the commercial interests controlling Earth and Earth orbit and the moon and a lot of the solar system now. The Universal Trade Zone, the UTZ. And after decades of war, it's good. There's some peace. Now BC is off to meet with the rest of the CEO Council of the UTZ on Wentworth Station. And we're along for the ride. In Chapter 7 of Vatican Abdicator, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. In the news, you can still get my ebooks free, but you're running out of time. The Smashword sale is done at the end of July. That's smashwords.com. It's in its last days. It ends Wednesday, July 31st. You have through the day Wednesday to go to smashwords.com and get some of my books, a lot of them, for free. Free ebooks at Smashwords. Hope you'll support this podcast if you go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. You can become a member and help me keep the podcast going. Every bit helps. Oh, I've got a new audiobook I'm narrating that's out this week. Not one of mine, but one that I've narrated. Somebody has to narrate nonfiction. It's not exactly what you'd call a page-turner for fiction lovers, but no. It's necessary. It's a guide, Small Business Taxes and Accounting Guide, by Robert Schmidt, and narrated by me, yours truly, Mike Luoma. Like I said, somebody has to narrate nonfiction, you know. If you want to find out about my stuff, of course, just go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. That's MikeLuoma.com. And coming up next, we'll be getting into Chapter 7 of Vatican Abdicator. On Glow in the Dark Radio.
In the distant future, humanity entertains itself with countless hours of podcasts. But the podosphere is troubled. Corporate networks and true crime shows rule the iTunes rankings with an iron fist. The year is 2019. Our only hope, the Nostalgia Pilots.
Welcome to Nostalgia Pilots, a podcast that for 100 years has fought the evils of outer space. I'm your host, Hugh.
I'm Jared.
And I'm Jason.
And I'm Spence.
Four podcasters fight back by watching and discussing classic giant robot anime.
Hey, do we have any of those cancers left? You know, the underwater ones?
Yeah. Thanks. That's what we need in this episode is more.
Drop a couple Saturn rockets to it. It'll be.
Their first mission, Toonami mainstay Mobile Suit Gundam Wing.
Oh my god, you're describing the Spice Girls.
See? You get it!
Suit up at nostalgiapilots.com.
Now here's Chapter 7 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio.
BC Shuttle Service. BC jokes with the pilot of his Stinger ship as he gets ready to disembark on Wentworth Station. Hope I haven't been too much trouble, me and all my friends.
Not at all, sir. It's been a fun assignment for me. Traveling out to the asteroids, to the moon, up here, all over the solar system, she says. And the Eldred have been quiet, too, so that's been nice. She pauses, wondering about what she wants to say. She smiles as she decides, "Those scientists are real characters, aren't they, sir?" BC smiles. "They are." "That first leg of the trip with everyone on board was pretty noisy," she says. "Don't get me wrong, it was a fun noisy. I had fun, that Indian scientist, Dr. Krish. He knows a lot of stuff."
"And he's all too willing to share his knowledge," BC cracks.
"Dr. Dell seems like the quiet type, but when he talks, he's almost scary smart."
The pilot again ponders her next statement.
"Seems like you and Dr. Kappa Tuna are kind of a couple, huh? That's nice if you ask me. Not that you did. I'm sorry, is that bad?"
"No, it's okay," BC admits. "I think we are, kind of."
"Yeah, still it was a lot quieter going back to Lunar Prime and then here. Are you okay, sir?"
"Oh, I'm fine, Captain. Just not looking forward to these UTZ Council meetings," BC explains his quiet mood. "They always bore me to tears. It takes forever to accomplish anything, so nothing really gets done."
"Well, sir, much as I'd like to keep talking with you and give you an excuse to procrastinate longer before you get off the ship, I've got to get going. I'm sorry," she apologizes.
"Not to worry. You've been a great pilot. Thank you."
"Good luck with your meetings and with staying awake."
"Thanks." BC notices some changes as he enters Wentworth Station. The isolation glass is gone. Wentworth himself is out walking in the open to greet BC as he arrives.
"Cabian!"
"Wentworth, is that really you, or is it one of your doubles?"
"It's me,"
he says. He comes up to BC to shake his hand. "All done worrying about the plague?" BC asks, surprised.
"We've stopped the current strain, BC. Good news," Wentworth exclaims. "I wanted to break the news to you in person. We've stopped it, unless it mutates again. We're okay for now."
"Really? Ha! Huh. Well, that is some great news. Have you begun mass-producing the antidote?"
"It's not an antidote, more a vaccine," Wentworth says. "We've begun to mass-produce the vaccine. We've started inoculations here at our meeting."
"Making sure you and yours are safe first, of course, Wentworth. Tell me about it in person." "Right. Man, people never change, not even in the face of death or war. Damn, it doesn't bring out the best in us. So typical of Wentworth. Work together to find a cure that I can use first."
Mbeke arrives for the meetings to represent the NCC. BC meets him at the station's port.
"Hello, BC."
Pope John Paul IV, how are you?" Mbeke smiles.
"I am well. Did you hear? The College of Cardinals has finally confirmed my papacy. I am officially the Pope now."
"You've been officially the Pope since I abdicated, Mbeke," BC insists. "I don't care what anyone else says."
"Thank you, BC. But it is nice to have their nod, officially."
It takes a couple more days for Wentworth to pull the meetings together. Dolome surfaces briefly. He and his crew hit 3 new targets, all isolated orbital stations. The news media identifies them as rogue UIN elements, after a UTZ spokesman calls them that in a press briefing. Like modern pirates, Dolome and his crew descend on their targets and wreak havoc, grabbing supplies, kidnapping and killing, and usually destroying any other ships that happen to be docked. BC gets the news of their raids as he waits for the rest of the council to arrive on the station. Wentworth won't call the first meeting until all the UTZ council members arrive. BC waits 3 days before Wentworth finally makes a general announcement over the comm that they'll be starting the meetings the next morning. Council members are paged a half hour prior to their first meeting and instructed to assemble in the main hall. The first day is preliminary and boring. BC acquiesces to Wentworth for most of the formalities. BC only lets himself get bossy and heated when pressing for faster distribution of the vaccine. The details and logistics of distribution then occupy council business for most of the afternoon. The council breaks for dinner. BC sits at the council table after the other members have gone, massaging his temples and trying to stave off a headache.
"I think my head's going to explode, and this has nothing to do with those other headaches."
Bing! A small light glows in the tabletop in front of BC.
"Must be the comm."
BC pushes the light.
"Mr. Campion," the tabletop speaks.
"Yes?"
"Ms. Capituna on the comm for you."
"Put her through, thank you."
"BC?"
"Hey, Anita," BC answers. "What's up?"
"Couple things. Dolome just hit Mars," she informs him.
"What?" BC can't believe it.
"Like he hasn't already done enough damage there."
"Just got the word from Al Salid," she says.
We sent a couple ships to see what's up. That's good. Probably wise to keep patrols going around the clock where you are, too. We've got a couple ships out dodging rocks at all times. That's a no-brainer, Anita says, sounding insulted. Sorry, BC apologizes. What was the other thing, he asks her, trying to change the subject. Ceres. A series of what? Not Ceres. Ceres, the asteroid. First discovered, the largest? Gotcha, BC says, figuring it out. What about it? I think we should move some of our facilities there. Start building ships nearby. Ceres' size gives us room that we don't have here, she explains. We've been discussing options. What other options do we have? We could move the facilities to one of the project outposts. Crankshaft might be best suited for it. Rigel IV is too small and too close to the Flays. Dimwit's too close to the Domo worlds. And Cat's Eye turned out to be too close to the Eldred.
I think we're asking for trouble with the Eldred if we go outside of the solar system and start building ships, BC tells her. I don't want to provoke them, yet. Defend against them, sure, but not provoke them.
Do you think your council would support this?
We'll see. I'm sure we'll have to discuss it at length, over and over, BC sighs and rolls his eyes.
Enjoying the council, are you? Anita says, with an evil chuckle.
You betcha. At this rate, we'll be here for weeks. I was hoping for a couple days, but there's no way.
Poor baby, BC. She laughs. Keep me informed, huh? Talk to you later. She signs off.
The first week, the UTZ council meetings are occasionally interrupted by sporadic reports of attacks by Dolomei. His ship is spotted raiding sites on Earth as he gets bolder. Bolder still, the second week, Dolomei and his crew raid the UTZ shipyards, stealing a transspace engine off the assembly line. BC and Wentworth leave the meetings to visit the shipyard and survey the damage.
At least it's a break from the monotony.
Ceres, huh?
Wentworth asks. BC is filling him in on Anita's ideas as they travel.
You're bringing this up with the council?
Will you support it? Wentworth pauses, thinking.
Well?
BC prods when Wentworth doesn't answer.
I'll support it, why not? We should try to keep it secret, though, eh?
Try, of course, BC chuckles. The project is actually pretty good when it comes to secrecy. Wentworth smiles.
Indeed, but the council might not be. Let's just make this happen without subjecting it to endless discussion, shall we?
I'm all for that. BC can't help his enthusiastic outburst. But can you do that? Wentworth actually laughs out loud.
That's what I do, BC. I make things happen.
Can you make these meetings happen any faster? I've been through tortures that were easier to take. Let me tell you, there was this one time,
One more week, probably,
Wentworth answers, interrupting BC.
If I know my UTZ council meetings.
The meetings do drag on for another week, but Dolomei is strangely silent, off the radar. No attack reports to break up the monotony. The Eldred remain drawn back, silent and aloof, while the UTZ Council considers their demands. Wentworth and BC explain the stakes of the war, and the Eldred demand that humanity stay within the orbit of Jupiter. No Eldred ships appear during the 2 weeks of meetings. The UTZ Council agrees to reject the Eldred's demands and restrictions, but also agrees they'll keep the decision secret. They will offer no official response. They also decide not to acknowledge the existence of the Eldred, or the alien nature of Dolomei, or any other aliens to the general public. The UTZ spokespeople will continue to identify Dolomei's ship as a rogue UIN group. They see no need to tell the public about the Eldred attacks on Mars either. They officially dismiss Dolomei's allegations of alien collaboration as fantasy, the ravings of a madman. BC disagrees with the decisions, but lets the majority of the council have their way. In his final address to the council, he wonders aloud at how long they can fool the public and keep them in the dark. Anita calls BC from the Project Asteroid Base as the meetings end. We've got a problem, she tells him.
Tell me about it, BC says. I've been on Wentworth Station for 2 weeks now. I'm getting stir-crazy. At least there have been no new attacks by Dolomei.
Actually, Anita corrects him, that's the problem. I just heard from the Flays. The Domo called earlier today, too. Dolomei's out there, BC. He's hitting them now. They want to hit back, and they may not care to distinguish one rogue human crew from the rest of us.
Don't they know about the ancient enemy?
Of course they do, but they're still pissed off at us.
They know it's a crew of humans following Dolomei's command. Don't they know he's controlling them? If they know about the ancient enemy? I don't know. They might regret shielding our development from the Eldred at this point. Their tone was kind of ominous, as if the Eldred were right, and we will turn into them. Maybe the question is whether we will become the ancient enemy, or, BC pauses for effect, whether we already are the ancient enemy, whether we like it or not. So now you're saying the Eldred are right? Anita snaps back at him. No, BC gets defensive. I'm saying they might be, but I don't think they are, just considering all possibilities. I was worried. Thought your brain might be turning to mush with all that exposure to bureaucrats, she jokes. The lights around BC turn red as an alarm begins to sound. Uh-oh. What's going on there? Anita asks. Don't know, BC admits, but I think I should go. But... Anita is cut off as the comm switches over to an emergency channel.
Campion,
Wentworth calls over the comm.
Come up to my station's command center. Dolomei is attacking a nearby station. We're scrambling ships.
Guess he's not out there anymore.
I'll be right there. BC finds his way to the command center with the help of one of Wentworth's robot doubles.
Apogee Station,
Wentworth fills in BC as he arrives.
And Dolomei has two ships with transpace drives.
Great.
We've sent ships, but if he's got two ships, now they'll start hitting two places at once.
Not likely, BC disagrees. Dolomei needs to be near his crew members so he can keep them under his control.
Again, the mind control thing. You're sure that's for real?
Wentworth is still skeptical. I'm sure. You watch. Even if he adds ships, they'll work together. Unless he's more powerful than I think he is.
Well, that's good news, I guess.
2 minutes later, Wentworth gets reports back from Apogee Station.
They made short work of Apogee, Wentworth says. A supply raid. Oxygen, food. Clean the place out.
Damn. Did any of our ships get a chance to engage his?
No, he was in and out too quickly. But we're picking up survivors, the ones left.
What now? BC asks.
We're on red alert in case they come here next.
Any sign of them nearby?
No. It was Dolomei's first attack in a while. Guess they ran out of some supplies. Where do you suppose they're hiding out? Somewhere in the asteroids?
They haven't been hiding out, BC tells him. I just heard from Anita that the Domo and the Flays have been in touch. Evidently, Dolomei's been attacking them. He's been keeping busy, just away from us.
And these are the other aliens, right?
Right, our galactic neighbors, kind of. They kept the Eldred away from us way back when.
That's right, you've mentioned them before. What are they like?
I still haven't met them myself, BC tells Wentworth. According to the project scientists, the Domo are like vampires, and the Flays are like your traditional UFO-type aliens, putting it in basic terms.
I see. Should we care that Dolomei is hitting them?
Wentworth asks, arching an eyebrow.
Maybe we should encourage Dolomei to go after them. Keeps them away from us.
You're assuming the Flays and the Domo won't hit back?
Even better,
Wentworth smiles a sly smile.
Let them take Dolomei out.
Their aim might not be that narrowly focused, BC warns Wentworth. Don't assume that when they hit back, they'll only hit Dolomei.
What, all humans look alike?
Afraid so, BC tells him. Who knows? They are aliens, after all. There's no telling how they think. The alarms begin ringing out across the command center. Wentworth's crew scrambles to their posts.
What's going on?
Wentworth shouts out. Are they here? BC asks. Another attack, one of Wentworth's techs tells them. Down on Earth. They're blitzing the Stinger shipyard.
Do we have any visual feeds?
Wentworth asks. Several feeds appear on wall screens around the room. BC's eyes are drawn from screen to screen. Dolomei's two ships dart in and out of the picture. The ships are visibly altered, with added-on armaments and engines. A strategic graphic feed shows Dolomei's two ships as bright red dots darting around the screen. Never seen ships move like that before, one tech exclaims. Crazy maneuverability. Dolomei, BC says to Wentworth. Souping up the ships with stolen equipment from the Flays and the Domo. Oh, shit. The screens with camera feeds all suddenly glow with an intense white light, and then blink out. The strategic feed blips off with them.
What the fuck was that?
Wentworth asks in a low voice.
Looks like a small nuke, sir, a tech tells Wentworth. A controlled burst. Never seen anything like it.
Shit,
BC says. He looks for a place to sit down and finds an empty chair in front of a screen showing a plan of the Stinger shipyard.
Get me an overhead view on that right now,
Wentworth commands. BC sees a satellite view appear on his screen, zooming in and zipping across blurry land below as it repositions over the shipyard. He has to look away as a wave of nauseous vertigo comes over him. He looks back as the screen stops moving. Smoke and clouds fill the picture. Switching to resonant imaging, a tech says. The picture shifts from a simple video to a graphic display as a topographic representation of the ground below appears. The crater below. There is no more shipyard.
First time anyone's used a nuke on Earth since Mecha was hit. Ruthless.
BC realizes the room has been silent when Wentworth breaks the silence.
God damn, the man plays fucking hardball.
Wentworth shakes his head.
Is that admiration in his voice?
Wentworth looks over at BC.
Guess we'll be building our ships in the asteroids from now on, eh, Campion?
We should warn them out there that Dolomei's back, BC tells Wentworth.
Do it,
Wentworth tells the man in front of him.
And let's look alert, people. It could be coming here next.
That was Chapter 7 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio. Now, Dolomei is back and on the attack, heading Earth targets now. And he's been pissing off the Flayers and the Domo, apparently. He's already hunted by the Eldred. Of course, the worry is they're going to hit back at us, in general, and not just Dolomei. Anita's talking about building on Ceres, on the asteroid Ceres. It looks like they're going to need a new shipyard, so that might be a good idea. And the UTZ Council, the rest of the UTZ Council, besides BC, thinks that denying everything and keeping the general public in the dark about all the alien threats is the way to go. They're still fighting the Eldritch Plague as well. It's an all-out interstellar war. How long do they think they can keep all this a secret from the general population? While the war continues, come back for Chapter 8 of Vatican Abdicator as the battle rages on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Once again, in book news, a new audiobook that I've narrated is out this week, Small Business Taxes and Accounting Guide by Robert Schmidt, narrated by yours truly, Mike Luoma. Not super exciting, but it's there. Somebody has to narrate nonfiction, as I've said. That is out this week. You have just a few more days to take advantage of the sale at smashwords.com and get many of my ebooks for free. Head over to smashwords.com in these last few days. It ends on Wednesday, last day of July, July 31st, and you can get my ebooks for free. There's links too at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com, my two sites. That's mikeluoma.com. Remember, you can support this podcast on Patreon if you like what you're hearing. You can get in on a real low level or, you know, even some of the higher ones. It's up to you. Every bit helps. There's a $2 a month level, $5 a month level, and a $10 a month level. That's all I'm looking for. Not more than that, certainly. Just to help keep the podcast going. So if you go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, you can sign up. And I will give you free stuff if you're on the higher levels, too. I appreciate my patrons. Patrons, I know. Well, that is all for this week. Our music, as always, by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.